Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, the Stanley Cup Playoff Edition, as we record on Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. I'm the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. Blake, just when we bragged up the playoffs last week, we get a lot of blowouts. I shouldn't say blowouts, but...
You can say it. The second round was very boring.
Two series were boring. Two were not boring at all. The Leafs-Panthers series was dynamite, and the Oilers-Knights was dynamite.
Yeah.
The other two, I had tough time. I know the Kraken Stars went seven. I had a tough time with that series.
I like that series, actually. That's probably one of my favorite series to watch.
I don't know. I had a struggle with that series, and it was good. I mean, obviously, it went seven games. I mean, how can you not say
so? Any Oiler fans listening to this podcast, it's Brad's fault that you guys lost. He said we're going to have two game sevens, and Oilers lost at six. So you can air your grievances out with Mr.
Brewer. It is your own goaltender.
No, you texted me and said, hey, looks like we got a couple game sevens coming up. You want to push her back to Wednesday? Nope. Oilers lose in six.
I thought it was going seven. I thought the Oilers were going to win it in seven. I did, but yeah, then their coach totally made a giant mistake, and we're going to talk about that later. But here's one thing I think is funny. Okay, we went through like 5 days of rain last week, got ungodly amounts of rain, like 5.5 inches. It just horrible rain here, and just roads flooded out. Just, I mean, it was bad. And now today, you can't even go outside because we have smoke from Alberta. And I was bitching about it at work today, right? And you know what? My buddy looks at me and goes, it's probably the Oilers fans burning the city down because they lost.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Banff's on fire right now. Banff, and there's some fires in northern Sask. And
it's 72 active fires.
It's like I was at work this morning, like last night, and you can just smell it like inside the building. And
it's
cleared up a little bit like this evening, but yeah, this morning it was really bad.
This morning we could not see. It was weird because we were clear, nice. A rain shower came through and with it brought the smoke, and I thought our city was on fire. I mean, you couldn't literally see across the street. You could not see across the street.
That's what it was like this morning.
They canceled all sports outside today and everything. I mean,
yeah, well, can't really do shit in this. Can't see. So, yeah. How's the golf game?
I couldn't see the ball.
No. How was the golf game? Like, come on, not today.
I've only gotten out twice. I've been super busy with everything in life. I've gotten out twice, and then we had five straight days of rain.
Yeah.
I couldn't golf.
I went out seven times already.
I'm struggling a bit.
It was weird, man. My first six rounds, I barely missed a fair with my driver. Go up to the lake. It's six of nine holes sliced right into the trees. It's like, man, golf is such a frustrating game sometimes.
Well, it's so
I don't
it's
know. It'll humble you real quick.
Okay. Bad news for next year for the National Hockey League. So baseball is doing a good thing. I'm going to give baseball props. They're working on speeding the game up, right?
Yeah.
And the NHL is doing the exact opposite of that. It was announced in 23-24 that the NHL will be increasing the commercial breaks from 3 per period to 5 per period.
5?
Absurd.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with, like, the... Every 6 minute mark, you get one. Like, what? Like, what do we need? Every 3 minutes,
the game.
That's absurd. That's just greed. That's just greed money. That's what it is. That's all it is.
It's gonna take longer, man. It's gonna take
3 hours now.
I know. Yep, it is crazy.
Where did you see that? I didn't see that.
Elliot Friedman tweeted it on the 13th. 5 days.
I must have missed that. That's brutal.
So hockey's a cold weather sport, but Southern supremacy as the conference final teams include the states of Florida, North Carolina, Nevada, and Texas.
Yep.
I blame global warming.
No, it's I like the Final Four.
I know a lot of people don't, but I do. I like the fact that I think the Panthers have probably been the most exciting team in the playoffs. I believe they've been the most exciting team.
I could say that. You could say that. They beat two Carolina really good teams.
Might be the most consistent team in the playoffs.
They haven't really.
They've like, just been steady hole.
Their opponents haven't been like super like.
We'll see. We'll good. See. We'll see.
It'd be an interesting test against Florida. We'll see. That's the best team that they'll be playing, right? So
Dallas, probably not a team I want to watch in the conference finals, but I like Jake Ottinger and I like watching him, so that'll be good. Vegas, I hate Vegas. I hate the Oilers more, but I hate Vegas. They're cheating, but.
Yeah, I didn't actually realize the Oilers were at $90 million too. So,
oh yeah, cheating.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really cheating if the league allows it. They're abiding by the rules.
I know, but you said it was cheating 3 weeks ago.
It's a loophole that they need to fix with one simple change in the CBA, but who knows?
So the American broadcast of the playoffs has really pissed me off. Really, really bad. It's bad enough on TNT. I got to watch PK Subban.
No, he has an ESPN.
Or excuse me, on ESPN. Well, I guess it, then all my blame. I won't criticize TNT. I'll criticize ESPN.
I actually like TNT's broadcast.
That's decent. Yes. You know what?
Like,
you know what?
You got Anson Carter. You got Rick talking on there. You got Biz. Like,
not an Anson Carter fan. I can't stand Biz.
Yeah, but Biz isn't like he's just there to be funny. He's good for the panel.
Okay. No, he's not. Kevin Bieksa is funny. But Kevin Bieksa gives you knowledge.
Yeah, sure.
Biz doesn't give you any knowledge at all.
He knows the game. You can't tell me he doesn't know the game. Playing the
he NHL. Knows the game, but he does it. He tries to be Mr. Funny Guy all the time.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bieksa doesn't try to be funny guy. He gives you knowledge, but he's just a comical guy.
I like Kevin Bieksa is probably one of the best things that ever happened to sports, man.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's great. Like he's off the chart smart.
You know what? You know why they got Bissonnette? Because he's cheap.
Sure. Yeah. And he's funny. He's good. People he's like not funny, seeing though. That stuff. He is funny.
I don't think he's funny.
Well, you're also almost 50 years old, so it's not your type of style. You're a traditionalist. You don't like that shit.
No, they're there to give me knowledge. And Kevin Bieksa gives me that. Kelly Rudy gives me that. Elliot Friedman gives me that. And they all make me laugh at times.
Yeah.
I don't need comical.
There's a lot of people that don't like the Sportsnet panel.
I do. I
feel like they're too boring or whatever. I don't know. I don't mind them.
If you want to go to a comedy club, go to a comedy club. If you want to learn about hockey, you watch them, right?
Yep. Yep.
So ESPN, game 6, right? Vegas, Edmonton. They split screen the start of the game with a baseball game with the Cardinals who suck against the Red Sox, and it's 9-1 game.
Aww.
And they
how long did they split screen?
Well, we missed the first goal. Watched it on a split screen. Stanley Cup playoffs. And we're on game 18 of Major League Baseball against a team that's already 8 games out.
It's been a month and a half, Brad.
Ridiculous. Well, you said it before we went on air. Right now, nothing matters in baseball. Standings don't matter.
I didn't say they don't matter. I said that
split screen playoff hockey game with a.
I don't have to deal with that. So fortunate.
Today on the show, Stanley Cup playoffs round 2. We'll recap that. Then we'll preview Stanley Cup conference finals, give our predictions. We'll go around the league, talk about the Yotes on the move, Landeskog's futures, Flyers management. Yep, and a little bit of controversy with the draft lottery. right, like, let's talk about the boringest series of all of them. I thought Devils, Hurricanes, it goes five. Carolina wins game one, game two handily. New Jersey, I don't know where this one came out of, beats Carolina 8-4 in game three. We talked about those. Game four, does Carolina rebound from that 8-goal outburst the Devils put on in game three? And they did. They totally tightened up, completely dominate, and roll the Devils 6-1.
Yeah.
Absolutely dominating performance.
Yeah, game five was ridiculous. Like, the Devils should have won that game 5-1. Like, they missed three empty nets. Like, empty net happens, like, all game long. It's like, they're up 2-1. Timo Meier misses an empty net. Chance go up 3-1. Carolina scores two shifts later, 3-2. Or, sorry, 2-2. Then they take the lead not long after that, and game's over in overtime. So,
that's a good tip-in goal to win at the
really off. Not really a tip. Kind of went off his ass and in. I don't know. Carolina is just a well-oiled machine. The Devils are good. They're a good team. They're coming. They got a lot of good young talent. The Hughes brothers. I kind of wish Luke Hughes played all series, because he really did make a difference on the back end, I thought, against a really well forecheck team and a structured team like the Hurricanes. He's really good at exiting the zone and getting the puck out of your own end. I like it. I like his game where it's at. He really helps them. But it just showed like that Carolina is just like, they might be getting Teravainen back soon, which is crazy. I thought he was done for the season. They're a really good team.
I'm gonna make a prediction for next year already. New Jersey is my team most poised for a fallback.
Well, they set the bar pretty high, right? So
they are poised for a not make the playoffs run.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what they do in the summer, right? Depends. Like, I like what they have in Ned with Schmid and Vanacek. I think that's really a good tandem going for. Yeah,
Schmid, you're good going into next year with that. I don't.
Yeah. It's their first career playoff game. So you got to get experience somehow. It's the same thing with Joseph Woll. He's going to benefit from playing in these games. He plays fine. Yeah. Joseph Woll was good for Toronto. Like,
their goalie next year.
He's going to be their backup though, and then the year after that, he's probably going to be their starter.
We'll see.
I mean, like, you got to get experience by playing. That's the only way you get experience. So
I'll bet you money right now he doesn't not ever become a starter in Toronto.
We'll see. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's good for these young goalies to get playoff experience. It's only going to help them moving forward.
Name me the last young goalie that Toronto brought through their system and he stayed as a starter.
Binnington. Well, I guess he kind of lost his job this year, but
no, it was a starter for Toronto.
Oh, maybe for Toronto.
It was a starter for Toronto. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck. They churn them out and shit them out the back end right away.
No, I know.
So
I know.
All right, let's talk about that series. Florida, Toronto. Florida wins it 4-1. Toronto gives a glimmer of do or die game four. One last chance for Toronto, and they come through. Blake said last Monday's show that there was no chance Toronto wins this game. They did. It was their best performance, I thought. It was their best performance. 2-1 win. And then I was really surprised because they're down 3-1. And the talk in Toronto was pretty positive that a lot of people felt like they were coming back in this series. And I was like, holy crap.
The delusion is off the charts, not Morgan.
You played one 60-minute game in the playoffs.
They barely won in game four. Barely. The skin of their damn teeth win game four.
And they played good. They played good that game and barely won.
And game five, Bobrovsky stands on his head. Just absolutely stands on his head. They're outshot 54-39. He stood on his head. He made some big saves in that game. And Florida
gets out to a 2-0 lead right away, and then they just you know, Riley gets it to 2-1, and then Nylander does tie it up at 2-2.
Everybody's bitching about the no goal call.
Okay, I want to get your take on it.
Listen, right when that happened, I looked at my dad. I said, it's not going to count. He goes, why? I said, it's because it was called no goal on the ice. There's no real complete evidence of it crossing the line. So they're just going to go with the call on the ice, no goal, which is exactly what they did. But they have to get some VR technology in here at some point. They got all the tracking in the pucks already. There's no way you can't put technology in the crossbar and technology in the puck. And as soon as the puck fully crossed the line, either a laser goes off or a buzzer goes off or something. Like, it's soccer does it. Tennis does it. Excellent. You get technology back like that. If you challenge in tennis in or out, it happens in 2 seconds. Like, it can't be that hard to do. It really can't be. You got to get those calls right. I don't know if they did, but
they did. I was 100% confident on this one. The puck went in the net. You want to know when the puck
went
in?
Yeah, because Bobrovsky left skate. He stood up.
When he stood up, the whistle had been blowing for seconds at that point. The play was completely dead at that point. That puck never went into the net until he stood up. People compared it to the Calgary game. Not even close. Not even close. That puck did not go in, and I know Toronto fans look for excuses all over the place. They're the masters of it. They're the masters of it. They spent more time bitching about the officiating in this series than they did worrying about their own damn play. And that goes for the fan base and the team itself.
Here's the thing that, like, for me, you pay all this money to the core four, right? Other than Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Matthews. One goal combined, you're paying up $33 million.
We've already said it. Are there superstars really superstars?
Brutal.
Or are they superstars because the media has told us they're superstars because they're in Toronto?
Yeah.
William Nylander is a joke in the playoffs. He's the softest player in the league.
He was their best player. Same close.
I know, but he will not go into any difficult situation.
Yeah, he doesn't go in the corners and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I get that. I understand that, but
I would not want him on my team.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not a winner.
He's their best player.
No. He puts up numbers. That doesn't make
Was he not their best player in the playoffs? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
No? Who was? You tell me a better player than William Nylander from the Leafs.
Morgan Riley.
I'm talking about a forward.
Shit, I don't know. Nobody's
their best player. Matthews was a joke in the second round. An absolute joke.
O'Reilly was probably the best.
Tavares, I barely even noticed him. Marner, he got a goal in garbage time. I don't care about that stuff. You pay these guys to produce, dude.
And you pay them to produce in the playoffs, right?
Yes. And they did. In the first round, they did. That got core four combined for 46 points. They did their job in the first round.
As soon as the game gets tough,
Hacker in. Fold. I got a question about the core four and one of my three questions. So we'll talk about that later. So what do you do if you're Dubas doesn't have a contract? Keefe has 1 year left on his contract. I think he's all but gone. I think Keefe's gone. I listen to Dubas. He sounds like he's burnt right out of that job. He sounds like he doesn't even want to come back.
It would be hard.
Wouldn't it?
You're crucified every day.
It's a hard job to do. Yeah. In that market, you're crucified. And here's the thing, dude. Dubas gave every single ammunition to the Leafs to do damage in the playoffs.
His biggest mistake was the Matt Murray deal.
No, that was a trade.
It was a mistake, though. Outside of that, though,
getting O'Reilly, getting Achari, you brought in Gustafson, you brought in Luke Shen, you brought in who else they bring in?
This guy's in Dubas. I'm not.
Dude, it's hard to crucify. It's hard to crucify him. Like, here's the thing. If I was a Leaf fan, this would be the most thing that pisses me off. Okay, Tampa's out, Boston's out, the Rangers are out. It was why it was there. It was right there for them to yep. do damage.
It was the easiest path they could ever have.
Like, and they couldn't. Like, they had no answer for the Bennett and Tkachuk line. No answer. Zero.
Because they play tough. And Toronto doesn't play. Those players do not play tough. They do not play tough. Their forwards don't. I'm proud of some of their defensemen. There's some of their defensemen work their ass off. But they don't play tough. We get the overtime winner. Dylan Cousins wins it on a great shot.
he grabbed his stick.
I know that, but does that
that's so ridiculous to be honest. It
changed the play though.
It pulled him right out of the play. It was a penalty. I'll admit it was a penalty.
Sure, it was a penalty. I totally agree.
How about Gudas screaming in Wall's face?
That's great.
Oh, I loved it. It was awesome.
I mean, the Leafs make it sound like that changed the series. It's like, wait a second here.
Yeah, but that was kind of bullshit.
I still think I still think the puck goes in.
Yeah, probably. But if he doesn't grab his stick, he maybe like gets a stick on it before he gets a shot. Maybe. I don't know. But
how does he get around Gudas to get a stick on it?
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't.
It was a genius play. It was a genius play.
Great play. It's a play that you need to make in the playoffs to win games.
I don't know about that, but we'll move on to the West.
I don't know. We got lots of the summer to talk about what happens in Toronto because there's going to be probably a lot. Let's talk about the Edmonton, the other Canadian team that was supposed to head the path paved. And they fall flat on their faces. The Edmonton Oilers lose in 6 games to the Vegas Golden Knights. Edmonton, they are in the driver's seat. They get the series 2-2. And in, Monday night we were recording. And that night the Golden Knights just rolled the Oilers 5-1. They took a 2-1 lead. Marchessault scored twice. Hill makes 24 saves. Brossoit leaves with an injury. And then Wednesday, game 4, the Oilers responded huge. They beat the Knights 4-1, send that series to 2-2. Skinner makes 25 saves. And kind of this is the game where all hell broke loose. Petrangelo gets a 5-minute major and a 1-game suspension for slashing Dreisaitl. And then Darnell Nurse gets a 1-game suspension. Jay Woodcroft gets fined $10,000 for a fighting instigation, which kind of questioned that one a little bit, but I don't know.
Let's talk about the suspensions here quick.
Okay.
And then we'll move on. Petrangelo slash was one of the worst hockey plays I've seen in a long time. That's not a hockey play. That doesn't belong in the game. He literally raised his stick 10 feet over his head and literally tried to break Drysdale's wrist. That's what he literally tried to do. He literally tried to shatter Drysdale's wrist and knock him out of the series. That was his full intent. And the fact that the NHL can say, yep, Nurse getting automatic 1-game suspension and Petrangelo 1-game suspension. Yeah, that's worth about the same. That's where I don't understand.
Well, the Nurse was an automatic one.
I understand that, but that doesn't sit well for me that they're both sitting out 1 game when Nurse literally didn't even do anything wrong and one guy tried to fucking take a guy's arm off. Like, what are we doing here? He should have got the rest of the series.
No.
At least two. At least two then.
I agree with two.
Not one.
I agree.
One's a slap on the wrist. You might as well, if you're only going to suspend in one game, you might as well just give him a $5,000 fine that he'll wipe his ass with.
Oh, let's be honest here. He would have done for McDavid?
Let's be honest here. No, McDavid would have got 1 game too.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like, it's just so inconsistent, dude. It was so intent to injure. It's not even funny.
There's no way I'm justifying that. I thought it was a bad play. I thought it was a terrible, dirty play. But.
There's no buts with that.
It happens all the time.
Hold on. reaching over your head and slashing a guy's wrist happens all the time.
Let me just throw this out. If that's Derek or Ryan, he slashes. He gets. Are we still talking about it?
It's not a hockey play.
But are we talking about it today?
Probably. It's dirty.
I agree.
It's not a hockey play.
I agree.
And I understand he's got no history and no supplemental discipline. I don't care. It's two games. 2 to 3 games. That's what it should have been.
I agree. Two games.
Like, it's, oh my God. It was just like the, it was the third period. The score's 4-1, 50 seconds left. Like, come on. It was just Bush League. You see that shit in rec hockey. Like, come on. Like, it's,
you don't see that in rec hockey.
It's a joke though. Like, it's, come on.
So let me ask you this question. Were you surprised that there wasn't a response?
Well, McDavid went after him, but nobody's gonna fight on the ice. Like, who on the Oilers is gonna fight?
Well, is that okay? There you go.
Maybe like Darnell Nurse, but he was suspended the next game. Then you're not. Oh. Then, well, like,
Darnell Nurse was in.
You're also down in the series. You don't want to fight. Like,
I asked you a question if you thought it was all.
McDavid kind of went after him, but he's not gonna drop the gloves and he maybe breaks his hand. Like,
if McDavid would have came after me, I would have been like, peace on this one. I'd have dropped my gloves and made him fight then if he was gonna come at me.
Yeah.
I agree. I just threw the question out there. Game 5, Friday, Vegas bounces back in the series. Eichel has 3 points. Vegas scored 3 times in the second period, all in a span of 129. They took over the game. Marchessault, 3 assists. Hill made some key saves. McDavid did have 2 goals. Nugent Hopkins gets 3 assists, so he had a really good game. But Skinner, this is what I want to talk about. 4 goals on 22 shots, gets yanked in the second. Campbell comes in, saves 9. Then Sunday, a do-or-die game for the Edmonton Oilers. And you complained about this in their first round, and I didn't think much of it then. But now I'm watching it, and I'm like, how do you not go with Campbell? This is the second time at that the game 5 was the second time that Skinner had been pulled in this series. And guess what happens? He lets in 4 goals and 17 shots in a do-or-die game, gets yanked again for Campbell. What was Woodcroft thinking?
Yeah, I mean, if you take his last 7 starts in the playoffs, he got pulled in 4 of them. So
what are we doing? Okay,
not good enough. To answer your question, I said in LA I would have went with him game 6.
Yeah, I know you did.
You disagreed there.
I disagreed.
You said you would go back to Skinner.
I would, yep.
I would have started Campbell in game 6. You paid the guy $5 million for 5 years to be your guy. You paid him to be the number one guy at July 1. They signed him to be the number one guy. Okay. Yep. Exactly. So when your season is on the line and Skinner has been dog shit the last 2 games, let in 8 goals on 30 shots, I'm going with the guy I paid to be the number one guy July 1. That's what you have to do. You live and die. I get it that Skinner got you there. I completely understand that.
Skinner didn't get you there. Dreisaitl and McDavid did.
But Skinner played really, really well down the stretch when Campbell was dog shit. Let's just be honest there. Okay. Say what you want, but your season's on the line. Skinner hasn't been good. What do you have to lose putting him in there?
Nothing.
You have nothing. Nothing. You have nothing to lose other than your season ending.
He was your off-season answer to your.
He was the big ticket, yeah. He was the save in the day, and you just leave him on the bench, not even start him. I don't know, man. I would have started him game 6. Who knows? He wins game 6. Maybe he stands on his head. Yep. I don't know.
He's got a good chance of it. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was a terrible coaching move. Marchessault gets a hat trick, natural hat trick in the second period. And Aiden Hill, who I'm tough on a lot, he makes 39 saves.
He was brilliant. He stole the damn game.
He didn't steal the game. Skinner kind of lost the game.
Yeah, but when it was like 1-0, 2-0, he made some big saves.
Yeah.
Huge save. Like, the Oilers run up 1-0 quick. right? 1-0 quick. He made like two, three saves right after that where the game could have been blown right open, and he kind of kept Vegas in the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, what happens in Edmonton? That's the question that needs to get answered. What happens in Edmonton?
Well, there's not much you can do, to be honest. I mean, you gotta keep pushing the chips in the table because you only got two more years of Draisaitl. You got three more years of McDavid, and Draisaitl's on a really bargain contract at 8.5.
You obviously aren't getting rid of
him. No, but I'm not saying you're getting rid of him. I'm saying the next 2 to 3 years, you gotta go all in. You have to go keep adding, and
they're just going to be running the bench.
Just let me see here. I just want to see. I want to see how much cap they got.
Well, they don't have hardly any.
So this summer, where is it? So they got 15. Oh, sorry. They got $6 million in cap.
They have Warren Fogle's a UFA. Who needs?
They have to sign Evan Bouchard too.
Excuse me, Derek Ryan is.
The only guy they have to sign is Bouchard. He's
their best players.
How much? Like, well, I'm fascinated to see what that contract's going to be. Like
if I was Evan Bouchard,
I would sign him to a 3-year bridge deal at $5 million. That's what I would do.
You know what I'd say if I was Evan Bouchard? No,
because.
No,
I would look to get rid of Yamamoto in the summer.
Got to get rid of him.
Get rid of Yamamoto.
But who's taking? I don't know.
He's 24. He's still relatively young. But
you taking him for 3.1?
Probably not. Maybe they look to unload a guy like CeCe. I don't know.
You're taking CeCe at 3.2.
Yeah, they might have to retain like $1 million. I think he's like a $2 million defenseman. Maybe retain $1 million there. I don't know. They're gonna have to make some decisions to improve. Like I don't mind this team. Like I really like this team. I like where this team is at.
I think where the change happens, coach.
They just signed to a 3-year extension.
Does that matter in the NHL anymore?
No, it doesn't matter, but they just hired him last year. You think you're going to move on from this quick?
I don't know. What do you do? That's the only guy you can move on from. He's literally the only guy you can move on from.
So Holland's got 1 year left. You think he's done after 1 year?
I don't know. I would think that if he doesn't produce with this group, he's going to have to be done, right?
Yeah. Boy, that Darnell Nurse contract just looks horrible.
So if you're Evan Bouchard, right, you're the best defenseman on the team. I knock on the door.
Yeah, I'd say Ekholm's probably better than him.
Okay, so I knock on the door and I say, "Well, I want."
He's got all the leverage. He's got all the leverage in the world.
I want Darnell Nurse money. I'm better than him.
Yeah, not good.
No, it's not.
Not good at all. But like, you look at this team. You got McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, Hopkins, Kane, Fogle, all the way. Like, good top nine. I like picking up Ekholm at the deadline. Like. I don't know. They got to learn how to score 5-on-5. You can't rely on the power play in the playoffs. That doesn't work. And what this series came down to, Aiden Hill is not the best goalie in the world. No. He just made the saves he needed to, and Skinner didn't. That's what it came down to. That's all it was. So, back to the drawing board for the Oilers. I wouldn't change much because I do like most of their team. They were one of the best teams in the league this year, and they added at the deadline and got better. If you can maybe upgrade your bottom six a little bit, I like that Klim Kostin guy too. I like him too. So
they gotta figure out what they're gonna pay him because he's gonna want some money.
Yeah, he's an RFA. So one of the last series here.
I didn't mind Bjugstad either.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not gonna be able to pay him
He got half retained.
So he's not going to be under $1 million anymore, I don't think.
No.
Seattle Kraken, Dallas Stars. This one goes 7 games. Last time we talked, it was game 4. Dallas scores, and scores more. 6-3 win. Seattle did fight back. Dallas was up 4-0. Seattle got it back to 5-3, but they just ran out of gas. Game 5, the Kraken. Were they going to rebound? No, they didn't, and they lose 5-2 again. And I thought, honestly, I thought this series was going to be done.
I didn't. Game six at Climate Pledges is going 7. And they dominated. They chased Archer twice. They chased him twice this series. Archer was not good. He was not good.
He was good when he needed to be.
Good when he needed to be, but overall, like, they kind of put a blueprint in the league high blocker side. They kind of exposed him. I give credit to the Kraken, though. I mean,
oh, they fought their ass off.
On paper, dude, this team's got like 3 third lines. That's what they got. And they just work their fucking tail off. That's what they do. They go through a wall for him. What's his name? Dave Haxall. They go through a wall for that guy. Grubauer, I thought he was okay. He was just okay. He was pretty good
in game six. He was really
game
good.
Game six, really good game six. There's a few goals I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a backbreaker. But yeah, a credit to Seattle, I think. What did I predict this series?
You predicted this one to be
Dallas and six.
Dallas and seven.
Oh, bingo! Stay hot. Let's go.
Oh, that's the only one.
I picked Carolina. And I was 2-for-2. Yeah, O'Canada struck out swinging. But
two teams, you know what? In Canada, strikes are right. And I'm not. I think it's idiotic when people say this is a Canadian American thing. It's idiotic. I think it's stupid.
Well, but, I mean, like 3/4 of the guys are Canadian on every American. Not anymore. So not, how's it going?
Blake, that's not the truth anymore, dude.
No, the U.S. development program's coming. They might have passed Canada in the.
Your country used to be 95% of the league, and
no, it was never 95. It was like in the 75%.
In the 70s and 80s, it was 95%. There was no Russians
in the 70s and 80s. Get real. We're in 2023 right now.
Well,
come on, it's
not that long.
A lot of countries are getting better at hockey. That's good.
Canada's
that means there's more talent for the rest of the teams. It's good.
Okay. All right.
Canada needs some competition up here. We were getting bored, eh?
Yeah.
Well, explain how US hasn't won Olympic gold medal since 1980. How come that's a thing?
Because hockey is probably the 12th most important sport in the US.
In the winter? No. What are you saying?
Come on. Okay, let me ask
Winter
you this.
Winter Olympics.
Let me ask you this question. When's the last time Canada won in basketball?
Won in basketball? Hey, hold on.
Wait,
we actually made the Olympics this year.
You made the Olympics. All right. That's what I'm talking
Canada
about.
Canada basketball is on the rise. It's coming, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming for that dream team.
Let me know when it gets here. Roope Hintz was really good for the Dallas.
Oh boy.
And Robertson was not. Is Robertson gonna get going? And what's wrong with his game?
Listen, the fact that they're in the conference finals and he hasn't done dick all is insane.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Like he hasn't done anything. It's been the Hintz. How about that young kid? Oh man, what a goal. Wyatt Johnston. Oh my god. What a goal off of Grubauer's head and in, like just
backhand or top
single. Not much space there. Yeah, it's crazy. Like 2 years ago, he's literally playing like, I think he's playing in the USHL and now he's scored like 26 goals.
He wasn't playing in the USHL. He was in the Canadian Hockey League.
Oh, yeah, Canadian Hockey League. Sorry. Toronto. Yeah, sorry. His first year had 30 points. Second year, he had 124. There was a year in between that he didn't even play because of COVID.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah. It's actually pretty. And he had 24 goals the regular season. So
let's talk a little bit about the conference finals here and let's get some predictions as we'll talk about the West first here. And the Vegas Golden Knights will now take on the Dallas Stars. That gets going on Friday night, I believe. What do you got in that series, Blake?
When I look at these two teams, right? I give the edge to Dallas and net,
Yep.
I give the advantage to Vegas up front, and I give the advantage to Vegas on the back end, I think.
I think you could be argued with on both of those.
If Robertson gets going, it's probably a tie.
Fair.
Because Pavelski and Ben and Hintz have all been really good.
Is Carlson going to be going?
Will Carlson?
Because he's been...
He'll be good. He should be good.
No, I'm just saying he hasn't really been that big of a force in the playoffs. I mean...
Jack Eichel's, this is coming out party. Would you not agree?
We'll see. He's on the way.
Has it convinced you yet? He's been really good.
He's been very good. He has. He's been very good. I just have to see if he's worth the hype and the money.
Listen, my heart wants to say Vegas in six, but I'm going to go Dallas in seven.
I'm going Dallas in seven also.
Because...
Here's why.
Because of Ottinger. That's why.
Ottinger is...
He's a difference
maker. Holier than Aiden Hill. And Aiden Hill is far out... He's proved me wrong already.
Yeah.
But...
I'll take my chances with Ottinger in a seven-game series.
I'll take my chances with Ottinger.
Yeah.
Yep. And Vegas here. Let's look at this. The Athletics...
Who's the odds to win?
Okay. I'll give you two different ones. The Athletic... gives Vegas a 55% chance, and Money Puck gives Vegas a 50.4% chance of winning. So very tight series, very, very tight series.
Yeah.
In the East, it's the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Florida Panthers. I know who I'm going here. Who are you going?
We've been betting against Florida all playoffs long. Yep. Might as well keep doing it.
Yeah.
Might as well keep doing it. I'm going Hurricanes in seven.
You're going to have two game sevens, huh?
Yeah.
I got the Hurricanes in six. And I just like what this Hurricanes team has done.
I can see them winning in six too, but two game sevens would be off the charts.
Plus, it's the only team that I've been right so far in the playoffs. And
yep. I picked them to go to the third round.
Okay, first, before we get to this next comment here, but the Athletic gives Carolina a 54% chance, and Money Puck gives them a 56.1% chance. To win the Stanley Cup, the favorite is Carolina, 30% chance, Vegas, 28% chance, Florida, 22% chance, and Dallas, 20% chance. Now, I saw something today on Twitter that blew my mind. I want you to guess. You know the NHL bracket challenge?
Yeah.
That NHL.com does, you know?
Yeah, that was busted.
There is how many people have correctly predicted all 12 series winners? How many people?
Two.
14.
Really?
I about fell off my chair when I saw that.
That's actually insane.
That is ridiculous.
Like that person had Florida,
14 people
out there. Four, 14 Florida Panther fans.
Oh my gosh! All right, time to go around the NHL. All right, let's get on to the big news. Vote does not go through in Tempe, Arizona last night, and the Arizona Coyotes have nowhere to play.
Well, no, so, they're playing at Mullet Arena next year.
I know. Later in today, it was announced that the NHL has said that they plan on them playing this season at Mullet Arena, and then it's up in the air on what happens. What do you think happens, and what do you think should happen?
I saw a picture today. I don't understand how Tempe didn't want this. I don't understand. Let's listen to this. Tempe City Council, okay, voted 7-0 in favor of this, right? This was a while ago, okay? This was to be a new home for the Coyotes. It would create 7,000 jobs for the city of Tempe and its residents. Okay. No out-of-pocket cost slash financial risk to the city of Tempe or residents. It would turn a landfill generating zero revenue into a landmark generating hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, and absolutely no new Tempe taxes created by this development.
Who's paying for it then?
But they didn't want that.
It is going to create taxes. It is being subsidized by the city.
But I'm just saying, though, like,
your money from the taxpayers. Here's the deal, Blake. Here's the deal.
Like, it was such a brilliant concept.
Let me paint you the picture. The Arizona Coyotes have been the epitome of bad. They've been in trouble with child abuse. They've got misdoings in their payment.
Yeah, they don't pay their employees.
They don't pay their taxes. They've been a black eye for the state of Arizona for years now. And the only reason they're there is because Gary Bettman put them there, and he doesn't want to swallow his pride. They've had attendance issues and financial losses time and time and time and time again.
They probably said they had enough of it. I understand.
Let me finish. I want hockey in Arizona, but I want it to work. And this is a financial drain because it's a great place to go visit.
Yeah.
And go to a hockey game. But it's a financial drain on the NHL. The players have taken hits over years because this costs the league money every year. Yeah. It costs revenue every single year. It's been an embarrassment that they had to play in a college hockey arena. It's just one thing after another, after another. And you know what? How do you look taxpayers in the eye anymore and say, you know what? We really want to try to make this work when it's not working.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I just wanted to bring that up just like to say it, but I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. They were going to play in Mullet Arena this year because Gary Bettman and this ownership group is going to make every single, they're going to be doing everything to try to turn this and get it anyways, irregardless of the vote.
I think they're gone next season. After next season, they're going to be relocated, and Let's do a little game here. Okay. So we talked this morning to like three places that you would like them to go. Okay. So who's on your list?
Where do I want them to go, or where should they go?
Where do you want them to go, or where should they go?
I want them to go to Quebec City or Hartford. Where will they go? Not those two places. They will go to Houston. Which they shouldn't go to Houston because people are leaving Houston at record numbers right now.
The only reason why they go there is because the TV markets.
But that TV market is shrinking daily because people are moving out of the state, out of Houston, left and right.
Right.
Because of the border. And, I mean,
Quebec deserves a team, mm-hmm. but the only issue with that is the U.S. team is not going to move to Canada.
No,
I don't see an American owner moving to Canada. Atlanta to Winnipeg, and Atlanta to Calgary, right? I know, I get that, but I think the only way Quebec City gets a team is if they expand to 34.
That won't happen.
It won't happen. Just saying, that's the only way I can see them getting a team. Okay, here's who I have on my list, in no particular order: Milwaukee. I wouldn't mind going to Milwaukee. Salt Lake City would be really cool.
Okay? Small market. It's smaller.
It doesn't matter.
Size is Regina.
It doesn't matter. I was doing research today. Hockey is very popular in Salt Lake City, and they love their Utah Jazz. I think they would support it. Houston on my list. Quebec City, and I got Portland.
There's no way they're going to Portland.
They're just on my list. I'm just saying.
They have a better chance of going to Albuquerque, New Mexico than they do.
Okay, calm down. But who deserves like I said, I wouldn't mind going to. Did you say Salt Lake City is the size of Regina?
It is.
Let me look this up.
It's a tiny TV market in the U.S. It's a tiny TV market. It's crazy they have an NBA.
200,000.
Same size as Regina.
Actually, it's smaller. Regina's 250.
Yeah.
You know what? Saskatoon can have an NHL team, and they would support the shit out of that team.
I know they would.
They would sell out every damn game. They travel country. They travel province wide to Regina to go to every Rider game.
I know.
They would for sure sell that place out. But they don't have a big enough rink. Their rink's only 10,000. Mm-hmm. Like, they've gone up there for preseason games before, so
not happening. You know, the St. Louis Blues were going to move to Saskatoon when I was a little kid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've read that before. But yeah, I think I do think they're gone. Like this upcoming season, they're going to play in Mullet, and then the year after that, I think they're going to be gone.
So how many players just say, "Well, I'm not playing a Mullet. Trade me right now."
Did you see what Clayton Keller's dad said?
Yeah.
Let me read it here. Where is it here? Clayton Keller says Clayton Keller's dad replied to this Arizona Coyotes tweet. Keller will not be there at the beginning of the season and expect others to follow or not sign. Team will be moved. There are no other options, and Phoenix will regret losing a professional sports team. City just got diluted from perception standpoint. Diluted. Privately financed too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Gabriel Landeskog out next season, will undergo cartilage transplant surgery. That was last week. Expected to miss the whole season and career in question.
We talked about this at the beginning of the year, and I said this might be the end of Landeskog. I mean, he's had 3 years in a row where he's had surgery, A, on both knees, and three of them now on the same left knee. The same knee, three knee surgeries. I mean, it's about quality of life now. Like he's got a young family. Dude, I don't know. Like, three knee injuries, let alone on the same knee, is tough to come back from, I should say.
I totally agree.
It sucks, man, because I really like watching this guy play. He's a really good player. Fun to watch. I hope he comes back. I hope this isn't a career for him, but yeah, it's not great. It's not ideal for sure.
Philadelphia Flyers officially name general manager Daniel Briere and Keith Jones as presidents of hockey operations. Yeah, where are your
know much about Keith Jones, but I wasn't surprised that Daniel Briere got named GM. I think that was a worst kept secret. That was always going to be the case. But I don't really know much about Keith Jones.
The Flyers need a lot of help and a lot of work. And I think Keith.
Well, they're going to rebuild. Tortorella already said that they're going to rebuild. So
it'll be interesting to see how that goes, and it'll be interesting to see how that relationship
goes. I wonder what they do with Konechny. Like, if he's there for the long haul, or they trade him off to get assets. That's their biggest trade chip, him and Ivan Provorov, right? So, yeah, I don't know.
So the draft went down, the lottery. And then after it, there was a lot of talk of there being a controversy, or if it was...
It's rigged.
Didn't we already talk about this? We touched on it last week, but it's been taken a step further. And I Elliot Friedman talked about it on 32 Thoughts, that high executives in the league believe the lottery for Bedard was rigged as well. And like, where do you go with this? Like, I don't know. Is it time to just get rid of the draft lottery?
And go, well, I can't even say go how baseball does used to go, because they have a lottery now too.
You know what I mean though? Like, it was weird. I'm watching the US version of it, and freaking, who was doing it?
Kevin Weeks announced Kevin the pick. Weeks. That wasn't on Kevin Weeks. That was the producer. He fucked up.
And they said the Columbus Blue Jackets before the sign even was turned over. Did I just see that or what?
Yeah, that wasn't Weeks' fault though. That was the producer, because it's all pre-recorded. Why, like Elliot Friedman said, just bring the balls out there and do it live. They have so much potential to be unreal TV, and they just choose to get lazy and pre-record it.
It's just dumb. Like, let's do this live. Like,
God. Bring the ball there, joggle them up, and then there you go. That's your loss.
Sometimes the NFL.
And if you have to make it an hour long, to make it an hour long. That's fine.
Sometimes the NHL acts like the CFL.
Okay, I don't know about that.
They do.
Okay.
All right, time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, I fired three questions at Blake. This week, he returns the favor. Question number one, go.
Who is your choice for the Rangers' next head coach?
Put a freaking name in a hat. I don't know.
No.
I don't even know.
You know who it's going to be?
Should be Gerard Gallant.
It's going to be Joel Quenneville.
That should not be a good choice. That'd be a really good choice. He'll do a hell of a good job.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Quenneville. Who's under more pressure, Edmonton or Toronto?
Both.
You got to give me an answer.
Well, probably Edmonton, in the fact that they have the two best players in the world. I mean, Ed, we keep getting told that Toronto's are great superstars, and I believe Matthews is a superstar, and I believe that Marner and Nylander are high end, and Tavares is high end. But you got Dreisaitl and McDavid, like that's like the two best players in the last freaking decade, and you can't win a cup.
Yeah,
I think that the time and the clock is clicking a little bit more in Edmonton. Even because once, I don't know. I feel like it's Edmonton. When you have that talent, you got to make hay.
Okay. What would you do with Matthews? Sign him or trade him?
Sign him.
You would, eh?
I wouldn't give him what he wants.
He's going to want to be the highest paid player in the league.
And I'd say, no, I'm sorry. I can't.
That's what it's going to be. It's either you trade him. Or he's the highest paid player in the league. That's your two options.
But what are you getting for him now? Because he's going to sign there. Right?
Well, I think it would be like the Tkachuk situation. That's what it would be like. 1 year left on his deal before he hits unrestricted free agency, he signed in a trade or yada, 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 and stuff happens. Like I think LA, you can get a good package for him from LA.
Does he re-sign in LA?
I hang out with his buddy Bieber and live in Hollywood. What do you mean? His personality is all Hollywood. It's all he cares about is fashion and stuff.
And is he a winner, Blake? Is he really a winner? Is he a guy that really wants and lays in bed at night and just God, his whole life is just to win that cup? Do you think he's that guy? I don't.
I don't know, man. He's such a good player, though.
I think Connor McDavid lays in bed at night and just goes, oh, my God, I want a cup so bad. I believe McDavid's that way. I think he wants that thing so bad. You can see the want. Yeah. I don't see the want in Matthews. I don't.
Well, you can just tell by the way they talk at the end of season press conferences.
Yeah.
Like Matthews is like
McDavid's dog under the table.
Matthews is like McDavid looked like somebody literally shot his dog. Yeah. And then there's Matthews. Oh yeah. I kind of want to stay here.
Disappointing. It's disappointing.
just hit repeat from last year's tape.
Been same thing every year.
Yeah, I think that's three. You got a listener question?
That's our question. Darcy McKinnon. Regina, Saskatchewan. And I laughed at this one because I actually almost went to my kid's bookshelf to pull your answer to this question off of it. Because the question is, what is your favorite hockey book? And I have a book over here called Z is for Zamboni. And it teaches you how to write and read.
Okay, as a kid or as an adult?
It doesn't matter. As an adult. What's your favorite hockey book?
I really, really like Theo Fleury's Playing with Fire book.
Yeah.
I really, I liked Sheldon Kennedy's book. When I was a kid, obviously Brady, that was a go-to hockey books as a kid. Have you ever read The Day I Almost Killed Two Gretzky's by James Duthie?
I have it. Yeah,
and Luongo wrote the foreword and whatnot. That's a good book. He came out with another one. I forget what it's called.
I have it. I don't have it. I have not read it yet. I have it here.
Yeah, I got.
What is the name of it?
I forget. I tried to read the Humble Broncos bus crash book by Caleb Dahlgren, and I couldn't do it.
Which one? What's it called? I know what it is. I haven't bought it yet.
It's a tough read. I got through maybe a quarter of it, and it's just so sad.
One I'll read this summer. My two favorite, and then I got a couple honorable mentions. My two favorite, Best Seat in the House by Jamie McLennan.
Haven't read that one yet.
My wife got so pissed at me when I was reading that book because I would lay in bed and read it and I would be laughing so hard that I would be shaking and it would wake her up and she'd get so pissed at me. That book is off the charts. It is that good.
Is he write about a lot with Luongo in there?
He writes a lot. It's a lot about Kiprasov. There's a story, and I'm not going to tell you the whole thing because I want people to go buy this book. There's a part of it where he's in Toronto for the Marlies. And they have a mascot. And the mascot, they were in Hershey or something. They were in Hershey. And the bear would always come during the period breaks and skate in his crease. And his coach told him, I think it's Hershey. Where am I? God, I'm drawing a blank. Or maybe it was. Anyways, the mascot kept skating in his crease. And his coach told him that if you go out there after the second period and he skates through your crease, you have to knock him out. And so he goes out there and he said he was so stressed out. He didn't want to knock the mascot out, but he knew the coach would kill him if he didn't. And he ended up having to KO the mascot. And it goes on and on. He used to stick gummy bears in his pant, in his leg pad.
John Garrett asked, sticking hot dogs in there.
Well, he used to stick gummy bears in there, you know? And then one time when he was in Calgary, I think, he got called into a game really quick and he had to jump up and go out there and he forgot the gummy bears in his pants. And so he said he was making saves and he was seeing gummy bears shooting out onto the ice. And so after one of the whistles, he called the ref over and he's like, hey, you got to get that kid up in the side. He's throwing gummy bears. another good book, Brian Burke's book, Burke Law.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy that audiobook and listen to it.
Phenomenal book. The audiobook.
Does he narrate it?
Yes, he does the audiobook too. I read the book, but he does the audio, and I listened to that one too. It's really, really, really good. Unbelievable. I thought Kelly Rudy's book was really good too. So if you get time. You might want to check out Kelly Rudy book, but you know, kind of an off-season question, and I like that question though because I love reading hockey books, and this is a time of the year where I can start to read. So yeah, great question. I don't know. Another week in the books. Yeah, it was a long episode. Probably they'll get shorter now as we have less series to talk about. We are back next week. Stanley Cup playoff hockey.
One game every other day now. So sad.
Blake is sad. Blake is sad because his Oilers are out of the playoffs.
I'm not an Oilers fan. I'm not.
I know you were cheering, boy. I know you were cheering.
You want to know something? Game four? No. Game six, I fell asleep first period. Slept the whole game. I woke up to them losing. I fell asleep the whole game.
Sign of old age, Blake. Sign of old age.
Yeah.
Enjoy this week's hockey action. We'll get back again next week. Same time. More great hockey talk. Hockey talk every week. The Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook. And check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at debatehockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.